Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations over and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the bear.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You know, long. Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the dry.
Schmack dogs.
And a good morning to you. It is the drive with Tay and Piper, Lante, Derek Piper, Philo, Illinois. No Kyle Tosk. Today we are going to visit with Brian Christofferson. Talking a little Nebraska. We're going to do that 5:05. Luke Goody, we know this, is injured. Of course, the fracture in his foot. He's going to have surgery tomorrow. We're going to visit with Matthew Gordon from the Mettler Center and get his perspective of what Luke Goody is looking at with this injury and the surgery and, of course, the recoup time and getting ready for Illinois. We are excited to tell you that Luke Goody is going to begin joining us each week during the basketball season. He was going to join us this Thursday, Pipes, but obviously a little bit banged up and with surgery on Friday. Obviously, we decided not to do it this week, but Luke Goody will begin joining us next week. We'll have him every week during the basketball season. I cannot wait. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it takes away from it with him being hurt and not playing the first probably 2 to 3 months. There's no doubt about that, but you know, he'll still be able to give us perspective of the team. He'll be in practice, et cetera. He's not going to give us like, well, this is the inbounds play we're going to run against Michigan State. But, I mean, obviously it's going to be a cool perspective to get from Luke Goody, whether he's playing or not. I'm excited to visit with him.
Yeah, I am as well, and I think that we now own exclusive rights to the injury updates for Luke Goody each and every week. No, I kid on that, but it will be fun. Luke's a cool guy, and we'll provide some good insights even as he's sitting out. He'll be able to explain what's going on within the game and how guys are coming along and everything. He won't give us anything that Brad wouldn't want him to.
Sure.
But I think that he'll be a great guy to get his insights from. And then as we get closer and closer to his return, it'll obviously be cool to talk to him about getting back there on the floor and doing what he was hoping to do throughout the entirety of the season.
I mean, we'll see how close we can get him to the equator, right?
And oh, yeah, we'll push. We'll see.
And then they're like, the next day he's like, Luke, remember when you said this? Yeah, you're not supposed to say that.
Or we can just try to get him to trash talk Indiana.
Oh, that'd be fine with me.
Each and every week.
And Purdue. I'd be fine with that. Actually, that's a great idea, Pipes, just coming out. Although they probably wouldn't want that either with bulletin board. But then your and I's show would be all over the state of Indiana. So, I mean, look, it could be a win-win for us. So, already Derek Burson's like, well, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea. No, it's going to be fun to have Luke Goody on. And we'll get more details on that, what days he's going to be on, et cetera. And we've got some great sponsors that are making that happen. So excited to do that with Luke. I mean, we're talking, what, 2 days and the season begins? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I mean, have you been training? Have you been, like, writing 1,000 words a night just to get ready for this? Here we go, man. Your life. For the next, what, till the, hopefully, April.
Hopefully.
Your life's going to be a little bit busy.
I would say so.
I've been through one
or two of these, so I know what it takes. I know what it takes for sure. It does get a lot busier later nights, hitting the road a lot more often. We actually went through the travel schedule after the show yesterday, and it's going to come hot and heavy here, starting with the Vegas trip and then go to New York, go to Maryland, all before the turn of the new year. So,
right.
But I'm excited, and it's definitely, you know, as I've learned here in the last couple seasons, not that it was a surprise, when you're covering a team that's nationally ranked, one that's playing for Big Ten titles and high seeds in the tournaments, a lot more entertaining to be along for the ride than
no doubt
is in years past when will they make the tournament this year? No, maybe not. And I've seen my share of tough seasons. And
right.
This should be another good one.
Where's Trevor at so I can complain about a lot of 8 p.m. starts, especially right off the bat? There's like three straight games that are 8 p.m. starts. Now, not
is
the Quincy.
Is the exhibition one?
No, I think that's 7 or 7.30. But it's the 8 p.m. is the – in fact, I've got that. I know I've got that here because you and I just went over this. The first game, Friday, 7 p.m. There you go. Then three straight 8 p.m. games. And then an 8.30 game from Vegas. I mean, does – I can hear Trevor right now going, oh, here we go, complaining about an 8 p.m. game. But, hey, you know what? Those are later starts at State Farm Center, and that gives you plenty of time to get off work, get loosened up, get ready to roll, and get to State Farm Center for the games. That'll be fun. All right, so we're going to get you ready for Illinois basketball as we go along. And, of course, Illinois football, we're going to hear later on from Brett Bielma, also Barry Lunny and Ryan Walters, as we gear up for Nebraska, that game 2:30 on Saturday in Lincoln on ABC. So we'll get you some of that chatter as well as we get forward to there. Now, we made the pact yesterday that we would kind of like the Washington State Cougars flag that appears at every ESPN college game day, that we would mention the Cardinals every show and see how long we could take that.
Did we make it happen yesterday?
Oh, did we? That was that? Oh, we already missed it then. All right, never mind. Yep, never mind. I was thinking that was yesterday.
Start the streak over.
Okay, I got to start it. Well, we got a good reason to start today. So, news out of St. Louis that just started flying hot and heavy this afternoon. First, it came down, or at least in the order that I saw it, that the reports were, and STL Today, St. Louis Post-Dispatch reported, that they were contacted and told that Adam Wainwright is coming back for another season. Now, this maybe to some, but certainly not to me, was not the best-kept secret in the world. I mean, when Adam Wainwright did not take part in the Albert Pujols, Yadi Molina retirement stuff at Busch Stadium on the final game of the season, that is all I needed to know, that Adam Wainwright was coming back this season. I mean, it was just automatic, right? Why wouldn't
he? Was at least keeping the door open.
No. He was coming back. All right,
you think even if they would have won, like what if they would have went on a run to the World Series or won the World Series, you don't think he would have walked off then?
I think he would have come back. I honestly think he wants to get to 200 wins. I think he knows last season what he had, a 3.17 ERA. I think he knows he's got still more to give. And now, you're right. I mean, possibly. But, heck, Tony La Russa did that, retired, and then came back. I mean, these guys – you know, you can't keep them down, but you're right. I mean, maybe Waino.
Maybe it was the I'll probably come back unless this has some
and that's
storybook ending, and it just seems like the right time.
That's true, because he never did appear in a playoff game. Of course, there were only two, but he never did make an appearance in a playoff game, and I think that bothered him. Now, whether or not he'll come back next season and if they make the playoffs, be able to pitch in the playoffs, I don't know. But certainly I felt all along, and even early on in the season when he kept saying, don't put me in the retirement talks. Don't put me with Pujols and Yadi. I'm not saying that I'm retiring. I just feel like Adam Wainwright, and I think it was all about his family and what they decided, and obviously the family decided, go ahead and keep pitching, Dad. So he's going to keep pitching, and I'm excited about this. 4 or 5 years ago, you and I had him as a bullpen
coach.
And now he just continues to do what he's doing, a chance to get to 200 wins. That'll be another milestone we kind of keep track of for this next season. What do you think of Adam Wainwright coming back and your confidence in a guy that has, what, pitched? I think this would be his 20th season with the Cardinals and 16th pitching. I think he was injured in some of them. What do you think for that? I mean, is this a guy that you're okay being your third, fourth, fifth starter?
Yes.
Not even close, is it? I mean,
until the wheels fall off.
Yep.
Really, and unfortunately, at the end of this past season, it started to look like that with the dead arm. And
it did.
I know he talked afterwards about it messing with his mechanics, and he was kind of to overcompensate. What did he say? It was a stride. He took
a
comebacker, and then he said that after that, it kind of messed up things, and then it put the weight on the arm, and it just kind of got out of whack. But yeah, he's been someone that for last year to have an ERA in the low threes, you'd take that in the middle of your rotation every time. He's been incredibly durable to be able to give the ball to
big time
every fifth day. And you've also talked about just his influence on the rest of a pitching staff.
Good call.
And you have a guy like Jordan Montgomery that's in there that can learn from him and just everybody to see Waino's presence in that rotation. So I like that he said he didn't like how things ended last year and didn't want to go out like that. Hopefully he can call up Albert and see if Albert wants to reconsider going out like that too.
Let's
but,
go.
I'm excited for one more year of Wayne. It's just one of those you just continue to soak things up with him. And when you have greats from the franchise and you get another opportunity to watch him go around, and I know he's mentioned he doesn't want to have the retirement
right
trail, you know, whatever you call that,
the going to every stadium,
the going away party type thing at every place, but you know he's going to get it
yes.
and deserves it. So I'm excited.
I feel bad for baseball fans everywhere not to hear him in the booth, and I hope he does that. Now he is again, not that a lot or most aren't family men and family people and want to spend time with their family. And it's not like, you know, you and I that are away, but then we're home every night. I mean, these guys are traveling all the time, and the kids can't be traveling all the time. I know it's mostly during the summer, but they have things to do. They got baseball to play, softball to play. They got school to go to, et cetera. But I just think that one day he could become one of the best color guys you've ever heard in baseball when it comes to that. So I truly feel for everybody that because I think one day you're going to get him on there. And you're going to love what he does.
A lot of years left for him to do that.
Yes.
And he's already given people a taste of it where he's done some postseason. And obviously any time that he's not pitching on like a national broadcast on a Saturday, they'll have him on for an inning.
And he's hilarious.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's just built for it. The other thing, too, for me is I'm like you. I have all the confidence in Waino. And like you said, until the wheels fall off. And maybe they fall off. Now, last year he made about $18 million. So it's not like we're just giving him – $2 million and saying, now a couple of years ago, it was all incentive-based, and he got every one of them. I mean, he passed every – he ended up making like $15 million, but his base was only like six, and then he had to make 15. He had to keep doing this, had to start so many games, had to do this, and he did it all. So last year, they just kind of rewarded him and said, hey, you deserve this. Here's 18 or whatever it was, million. I don't know what it'll be this season. The Cardinals have the money. John Mozeliak said today the payroll will go up next season. I'm sure a lot of Cardinals fans roll their eyes when they hear that, but certainly that is something that we think will happen. But this is my final thing on Waino before we get to the other news that happened with the Cardinals today. Adam Wainwright's the kind of guy that'll take the ball and go out and get you seven or eight innings when your bullpen needs it. And that's incredible to say that about a guy that's 40 years old. You would think you would say that about a 24-year-old kid that has a fresh arm, and you just basically, like Edwin Jackson, just say, hey, Edwin, I know you're not going to be very good today, but you're throwing seven. So I don't care if you're down 13-0 or 1-0, you're going to go seven innings because our bullpen needs the rest. Adam Wainwright's that guy. He's like, give me the ball every fifth day. I'm going to go out. I'm going to eat up innings. Like you said, he's durable. And that is something that maybe the normal fan doesn't pay attention to. And probably even guys like you and I, because I think we're more than a normal fan. We watch every game, et cetera. We probably don't even realize enough of giving that bullpen or giving two or three of those guys a day's rest, or even two, is huge. And I think that's something that Adam Wainwright has done for the majority of his career. And I think even at his age now, he is fine with looking at Ollie Marmol and whoever the new pitching coach is, which we'll get to, and just saying, I'm fine. Just leave me out there. I'm good. You do not need to remove me from this game.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of value to that for sure. And just if the Cardinals can come out of a spring training just 1 year, I'm asking 1 year, and not have one of your top three pitchers in the rotation on the shelf already. I know. Yeah knock
I'm
on that wood,
on
please.
Fake wood, but.
If you're not relying on Adam Wainwright to be one of your top one or two pitchers, if you can actually have Flaherty healthy and him live up to his potential, if you can actually have Michaelis stay healthy, which he did this year and pitched pretty well.
Montgomery.
If all of a sudden you're just like ho-hum slotting Adam Wainwright in as your third or fourth best pitcher, you'll be in a really good spot.
Yes.
It's just the Cardinals here recently have gotten a good performance out of Waino a couple seasons in a row. They just needed him to be like an ace a lot of times because of the injuries and because other guys not living it up.
That's a great point. And I'm fine with him starting opening day.
Well, yeah,
I'm absolutely fine with that. So, I mean, if we're gonna go down the what's the word I'm looking for, the nostalgic path again, I don't know that I need another season of that. I'm not gonna lie to you. That was starting to get a little old. But hey, I'm fine with giving Waino that opening day start. There's no doubt he needs to be out there. 50 needs to be out there. All right, he's going to be working for a new pitching coach. Mike Maddox was let go today. He decided he wanted a kind of a different change of pace. And Jeff Albert, who is the most talked about hitting coach in the history of St. Louis Cardinals hitting coaches, I guess he was given an option to come back and was offered a contract, and he said nope. And when you read reports from Randy Carricker, who I truly feel like is a heck of a reporter in St. Louis, or Frank Cusimano or Derek Gould, who obviously covers that team, they all say that Jeff Albert was tired of being the blame man. Like, everybody was blaming him, and obviously I was, but everybody was blaming Jeff Albert, and he didn't like that. So he decided, nope, I'm not taking a contract back with the Cardinals. I'm no longer your hitting coach. What do you think of those two things?
It's kind of infuriating to know that the reason Mike Schilt left was because of the loyalty to Jeff Albert.
Exactly, what my mom just brought up.
And then not long after, what is it, the season after?
Season after.
Jeff Albert decides to walk away because he's getting too much blame.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a rookie manager mess up the first game of the series against the Phillies, and it kind of really threw that thing off track.
Jante beat you to it, but only maybe because I hadn't talked to you yet. She said the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I got nothing against Ollie, I guess, but I had nothing against Mike Schilt.
No.
And to know that that was the reason, even though it was never said, that was the reason Schilt was gone, because he wanted Albert gone.
Yep.
And John Mozeliak said, no, Albert is my guy. You're not, I guess. I mean, that's just ridiculous, but it is what it is, so Albert is now gone.
And it's hard to know. Like, I know that it's easy to, when your lineup is inconsistent, when it's not producing, point to the hitting coach and say that's why. Like, the fact that the Cardinals didn't hit against, for the most part, top-level starting pitching, it seemed like most of the years. And when they – I know it's been brought up on our text line a lot. When they faced the better teams in baseball, the offense seemed to leave a lot to be desired. Yeah, there should be responsibility falling back on Jeff Albert. It's just hard to know, like, oh, new hitting coach, now the Cardinals are going to explode in these certain situations.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Goldie had an awesome year. Nato had a really good year. Pujols obviously was great. But for the most part, a big storyline was the inconsistency of the Cardinals' offense, not showing up there in the postseason. But it wasn't like the Cardinals, based on the reporting, said, no, all right, Jeff, we're good. It
was
Jeff saying, hey, I'm tired of being – a different kind of goat, not the greatest of all time, the goat for the losses on social media and all that. And he obviously heard the criticism, and he obviously listens to the show.
And it's funny because I see a lot of people on Twitter, and I'm not talking people that I follow, but like people that are Cardinals fans or whatever, just say, you know, Cardinals would go out, score 12 runs, and then they'd score 0-1-2-1. And that happened, but I think that happens to a lot of Major League Baseball teams.
Right.
I don't think the Cardinals are the only team, you know, secluded to that problem. But, you know, it is one of those situations where you had career years out of, for the most part, Goldie, Nato, and obviously not Albert, but career year compared to what you thought he would have.
Right.
I mean, incredible.
His best year in like a decade.
Right, exactly. And yet, you know, you have the frustration with a Paul DeJong, a Nolan Gorman, a Dylan Carlson, a Tyler O'Neill, a Harrison Bader. You go on down the list, right? And it's just one, like Yadi Molina, he's too cemented. Like, he's going to bat the way he bats, and I don't think there's anything he's going to do to that. But Paul DeJong is a guy that has just basically said, I like what Jeff Albert teaches, I follow what he teaches, and Paul DeJong hit worse than I did in fast-pitch softball. So that tells you how bad Paul DeJong was. And it's just one of those situations where it's like, you know what? The thing with Maddox, never had really a problem with Maddox except after they told me that he likes to touch the pitcher's shoulder every time he goes out. Then it started to really bother me. Not in a creepy way. I just was like, oh, here we go. He's calming him down. That's great. I'm just ready for fresh blood. I'm ready for some fresh blood. And, of course, Skip Schumacher, who I liked, he took the job, it sounds like, with the Marlins. So you're going to lose Skip, the bench manager. So basically now I guess you hire Matt Holliday as your hitting coach. You hire Yadi Molina as your bench coach, and you hire – I have to give Rindog, is his name on Twitter, the credit for this. Who did he have as his – oh, Chris Carpenter is your pitching coach, and all is well.
I can get on board with that.
Especially
Absolutely.
Carp.
Yeah.
Especially Carp. and Holiday. You know, Mark McGwire did a pretty good job in that role, but he wanted to get back west. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Cardinals.
Oklahoma State, where Holiday is right now?
Yep. And now that one of his kids just got drafted, right? First?
Yes.
So maybe he'll say, all right, well, I'm going back to the bigs. That'll be interesting.
The trade.
People love him in St. Louis, and he loves St. Louis. There's no doubt about it. So, I don't know. Maybe that's something. Sometimes you can get in trouble with that. Sometimes you can get in trouble with the whole nostalgic, well, you know, this guy really likes St. Louis. How about Albert as a hitting coach? I don't think he'd want to do that. I mean, can you imagine being a rookie and you're like, oh, by the way, one of the top five hitters ever is going to be your hitting coach? It's like, oh, okay.
He seemed like, by all the camera shots, that he was Juan Yepes' personal hitting coach throughout the year.
And that worked pretty well. That worked pretty well. Well, we'll see. Do you believe Mazalok will open the book? Do you believe he'll?
Better.
I mean, if Nato says yes, I said this wrong the other day. I said part of it right, part of it wrong. If Nato says yes to coming back, opting back into his contract with the Cardinals, the Rockies do owe $16 million to the Cardinals this year. If he elects not to opt in and he wants to go somewhere else, the Rockies still owe you $16 million. They do not, however, then owe you $5 million every year after. I said that wrong the other day. So essentially, whether or not Nato is back next year, which I believe he will be, the Cardinals are receiving $16 million from the Rockies. I still don't understand what happened there. Whatever liquor John Mazalok gave that dude, he needs to keep taking that everywhere. I mean, it was whiskey. Maybe he was doing fireball shots. I don't know what he did to get that doing. So, essentially, though, if Nato comes back, Goldie, of course, is back, and you have a lot of these guys that are hit arbitration, including, like, Jordan Armstrong is going to go from, like, $3 million to $10. If all that happens, you're still going to be, I think, right around $100 million. You got a lot of money you can spend in St. Louis. And the Cubs have a lot of money they can spend in Chicago. And this might be a really fun offseason to watch what the Cubs do, watch what the Cardinals do, and watch what Wilson Contreras does.
Oh, yeah. And I was just going to say, the Cardinals better get aggressive at catcher.
Yes. That's yes.
I will not be feeling great if it's Herrera, who I'm excited about long-term, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I feel like we would have seen more from him.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not writing him off.
No,
it's
I'm not either.
I'm not sold at all on him being your starting catcher, and you know how I feel about Andrew Kisner.
Oh, do you want a catcher more than anything? More than a shortstop, more than a starting pitcher, more than an outfielder that's established?
That's a good question.
I mean, are you comfortable with going into a season with O'Neill, Carlson, Nootbaar?
I'm not at all.
Quit relying on developing outfielders. We're now into the second decade of trying to develop outfielders. Go get a proven outfielder. And I know Jordan Walker's out there. And I know eventually he's going to be probably in right or left field, because probably Nato's going to be back, and Goldie obviously would be back. So you're not playing him at third. You're not playing him at first. You got to play him in the corner. He can be your fourth guy, right? Newt could be your fourth guy. Jordan Walker could start. Or go get an established guy. In fact, let me say that again. Go get an established guy, and if Jordan Walker forces his way in the lineup, move O'Neill out of the lineup or whatever. But I'm tired of trying to rely on all these kids. And I'll even with Walker, I want to see it to believe it. He's doing it now, but I want to see it at the big league level.
Right. Maybe it's more of a short term, like a 2 or 3 year two-year contract guy versus like a Bryce Harper.
Exactly.
You're going to sign, which I know we always say the Cardinals don't make those kind of deals.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Even a one-year guy, just a veteran
that
has done it. You know, I don't know. That's really what I want.
But catcher is decently up there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can.
It'd be refreshing to have a catcher that can actually hit the ball.
Amen. Amen to
consistently.
That. I mean, I hate ripping on Yachty, but let's go. I mean, you need somebody that can hit. There's no doubt. At catcher. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, Luke Goody has a broken foot, and he has surgery tomorrow. Matthew Gordon, he's our guy from the Mettler Center, is going to fill us in on that injury and the recuperation. And recuperation, am I saying that right? The recoup time for Luke Goody. And nobody knows, obviously, until you get in there and understand really what is broken. But We can at least get an educated guess out of Matthew Gordon. So if you want to weigh in, 359-2255. I don't have it up yet, the U of I Lightning Link text line. I'm assuming it's pretty full.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Whenever we talk Cardinals baseball, then we get a lot of texts coming in. So 359-2255, of course, use the 217. If you want to call us, that's a little tougher with it just being Pipes and I today. But Matthew Gordon, for instance, will join us on the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. We'll do that here in a minute. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's at The Drive 93.5. I'm at Lante, ESPN. See you.
I'm a D Piper 247. By the way, Ryan on the text line says, you guys weren't kidding about talking Cardinals every day, huh? We're not. I think we missed it yesterday, but don't worry. We will not disappoint you again. Our podcasts are on all platforms, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tanepiper.podbean.com. Stream us live at stevieJay.com, stevieJay.com. You can watch us live on YouTube, Twitch, Facebook, and Twitter. Just search Tane Piper or The Drive 93.5.
And Brian Christofferson from 24-7, Husker 24-7. Is that how you say it?
Yes, Husker 24-7.
He's going to join us at 5:05 to get us ready a little bit more. Kind of talk to the enemy and get a little information on those Nebraska Cornhuskers. It's all coming up next. It is The Drive.
If you want a steak, I mean a steak, prepared the way you want it, you've got to go to Long Branch Steakhouse. Hi, it's Jay Layman. It's been over a year since I was introduced to Donnie at the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford. And when I want a great steak, that's where I go. And the sides, the Brussels sprouts, the mac and cheese, and the salad with Donnie's secret frog dressing. Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. There's always room for the Long Branch Steakhouse.
It's a totally Christmas open house this Friday through Sunday at Prairie Gardens. Celebrate the start of the season with a PG Winter Wonderland. Ready now with brand new collections and magical displays. Shop three-day open house specials. Sip and taste with food samplings. Plus, enter to win your favorite decorated Christmas tree free. Join us this Friday through Sunday for a totally Christmas open house at Prairie Gardens, your Christmas destination for over 50 years.
Sure, we offer push-button mortgage applications, but when it comes to getting the money for the house of your dreams, we offer something far more advanced, and we call her Brenda, a real person who knows you better than any app and works hard to make things simple, cutting through red tape, meeting you outside the office and in between life's busy moments for a great rate and a great deal. Call Brenda at Iroquois Federal Champaign and let her help you get home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS number 472172.
Hey, it's Stevie J. We have a great Stever today. Here we go from Kramer Siding and Window. Do you have a project you're trying to get done? New door, new window? How about some siding? Maybe you want to do a pergola? How about a leaky roof? Yeah, Kramer Siding and Window does a lot of great projects. So here's your deal. They're offering $500 off a project of $3,000 or more. All right, that's good. But I'm going to add $1,000 to that. So essentially, this deal is going to be $1,500 off a deal of $3,000 or more. What? $1,500 for a Stever? Kramer Siding and Window, they can do a lot of great things for you. If you are interested, just text in 217-359-2255 and text in Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R, if you're interested in at least getting a free estimate. It's a no-brainer. Kramer Siding and Window, Stever. Just text in Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R, 217-359-2255.
Mike Maron has been serving as your Republican state representative in the 104th District. Mike is a family farmer deeply involved in agriculture in Illinois. Mike Maron is also a small business owner and knows the effects of the economy. Maron will continue to work on the issues in East Central Illinois and our state.
The safety of our people is a priority. If you jeopardize their well-being, you will be held accountable.
Real values, real results, re-elect Mike Maron. Paid for by citizens to elect Mike Maron.
November 11th, we'll be honoring our veterans at Pia's, located at 1609 Springfield Avenue in Champaign between 4 and 6 p.m. when our team from Stevie J Broadcasting does a live broadcast ahead of the Illinois-Purdue game Saturday, November 12th, with drink specials from Twisted Tea and Coors Light. Plus the fabulous fish on Fridays. It's a great way to take a veteran out as you wear your orange and blue and prepare for a great game. As we say, go Illini at Pia's.
There's only one thing better than watching Illinois football live at Memorial Stadium. Watching it with your dad. It's Dad's Day at Memorial Stadium on Saturday, November 5th. Cheer the Illini on to victory as they take on the Michigan State Spartans. Secure your Dad's Day tickets today by visiting FightingIllini.com or by calling 866-ILLINI1.
Illinois football is back. Shop at Game Day Spirit this fall and gear up to support your Fighting Illini football team. With great football designs and brand new apparel from top brands, they're the one-stop shop to get everything you need this football season. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campustown, and online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
I haven't done that in a while. The old Dumb and Dumber. Hey, you want to hear the most annoying sound in the world? It's coming up here on the Drake song. It's not actually the Drake song that Jim Carrey talked about, but this is pretty annoying right here. I mean, that's annoying. Sorry. Is that a good song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet it is. I should probably get more into Drake. Everybody I know loves Drake. My boys love him. And they'll, honestly, we'll be in the car. Andrew will throw out a song, and I'm like, who's that? He's like, Drake. I'm like, I like that song. And then he'll go to some other song that, you know, is just, I'm like, good Lord, where's the Bible? I'm like, goodness. Oh, boy. I'm like, this is getting back to the Hair Nation days where, you know, Great White would sing about different, you know, mm-hmm. all those little things that like Van Halen would sing about.
And, sure.
You know, you had to at least read through the lines back then. Here, it's just like, oh, okay. All right, so it's the old Lante and now Derek Piper, the young one next to me. It is the drive with Tay and Piper. All right, Luke Goody, who is young but injured. What exactly are they calling this injury to Luke Goody?
So it's a broken left foot, a bone fracture in his left foot, which he sustained late in that scrimmage on Saturday against Kansas. He'll have surgery on Friday.
Kansas.
And right now it says TBD as far as the timeline in terms of his return.
Well, we decided to turn to our expert, and that's Matthew Gordon from the Mettler Center. Haven't talked to Matthew in a bit. How are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good. How's the pitching arm?
It's not quite as strong as it once was. I'm currently trying to see, like, I know you guys were talking about Waino here. I'm trying to work in.
Yeah.
see if maybe they'll give another old dog maybe a little run. See if they do any of that.
But. Let's go. Now, did you pitch for Centennial?
No. So my pitching days, I was smaller school wise. I was up at Judah, and then.
Gotcha.
The main baseball that I got to play, which was the best, was actually when Marty Kirby was my coach for Urbana Legion.
Got it.
So I got to play with a lot of great guys, and then Marty was just the best coach you could have ever asked for. He was one of those coaches who knew the sport, knew how to teach the sport, knew how to make you understand situations.
Awesome.
And I had the honor of getting to learn from him.
I've never had a fellow player or a former player say that stuff about me. So I guess I'll talk to Marty sometime and ask him what I did wrong. All right, Matthew Gordon, you heard the injury to Luke Goody, left foot. He's going to have surgery. He's doing it tomorrow. Just your initial reaction when you heard about this injury, and then we'll kind of get nitty gritty on it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the first thing is when we're talking about sports, right, they're always kind of vague on these injuries and stuff. So when they say like a broken foot, your foot has 26 bones in it, and then you have your ankle, which is your shin, and your shin bone, which is your tibia and your fibula coming down to make an ankle joint with your top foot bone. So there's a lot of options that could be what got broken there. You know, some of the common ones would be an ankle fracture, but I think normally they would say that if that's what it was. A foot fracture, it feels like a lot of times is your fifth metatarsal. In basketball, I think that's a pretty common one when you come down on somebody's ankle or you're just jogging down the court and your foot lands on someone else's foot and you just kind of roll it over to the side. But I mean, in the end, it really doesn't matter. Whatever got broken, the fact that he's having a surgery means that a bone broke and it's displaced.
Sure.
So a displaced bone just means it's not aligned the way it should be. So, you know, when you think about a bone, it should be in this alignment. A displaced means instead of it being one straight line, it's a line and then a shift over left, right, or whatever direction. And then there's the rest of that bone. So they surgically go in, usually screw, plate, or whatever, and they realign it. Now, I think personally that in a scenario, that can actually speed up your recovery sometimes, because what's healing now is a bone that cannot shift when you're moving around. It's locked in place by the equipment now. So sometimes that can result actually in a faster healing. But yeah, I mean, an injury this time of year can sometimes be a great thing, because it means you can come back. Whereas if this injury happens in December, he's not saying, hey, I hope to come back.
Right.
I'll see you next season.
That's a good point.
Matthew, I know a lot of times we like to go on Google and everyone turns into a doctor and see what WebMD talks about, like recovery-wise of, oh, 6 to 8 weeks and he should be good. Well, no, sometimes that's 6 to 8 weeks and the common man can walk to work now and not be in a boot. Like, in terms of a basketball player ramping up to full speed, what would you imagine? Just kind of in general as far as a broken foot goes.
Yeah, so, I mean, bone healing, you're looking at like 6 to 8. And like you referenced, usually when they talk about return to activity, they're usually talking about us normal humans. So when we're talking about getting back to sports, usually it's going to be around 10, 12 weeks for someone his age, hopefully healing a little bit quicker, being able to initiate the, like, jogging program, the running program, and then the higher impact stuff, such as, like, your plyometrics. One of the biggest things when we're talking about a dynamic sport like this is we have to make sure that this foot, knee, hip, that everything in there is able to do the job that is required. So even though the bone might be, you know, from an x-ray standpoint, oh, that might be healed. All right, we also got to get you back in shape, because we don't want to bring someone back too quick and then, oh, hey, your hip was out of shape and you now have an ACL problem. So, you know, around 12 weeks is probably going to be when he gets to restart stuff. But again, if I'm thinking through just your normal athlete, he's now got 12 weeks where he can, you know, pull up a chair, work form, really anchor in. Okay, this is what I'm feeling here. If I'm him, I'm talking with my strength coach, and I'm like, I want to bench 40 pounds more, 50 pounds more when I get this thing ready to go foot-wise so I can come in ready to go. You're not going to be doing that weight-bearing stuff here for the next couple 4-6 weeks, but he can still do a lot of non-weight-bearing hip exercises
Good
to
point.
Keep those muscles in shape. You can still, he could do a seated knee extension, hamstring curl. He can keep those quads ready to go. So there are things that he can do to keep the rest of him ready to go, so that when he comes back, hopefully he can come in just like last year, three-point, you know, nail that 9-point bench performance and just be that spark that you're not, it's not a 4-month vacation.
Good point.
I like those.
In terms of return, is there a fairly low risk of re-injury and then also like just kind of him working through the, just getting back out there and feeling the footing literally with that left foot and when you plant on it as a shooter, what do you make of those kind of factors?
Yeah, I mean, a broken bone in the foot, I mean, those are usually, it's a legit injury. It's not like an ACL where it's like, oh, you injured this one. The risk of you injuring either this leg again or the next one or the other one has gone way up. I mean, anytime you have an injury, there's a risk for that being a re-injury and stuff. But with a foot injury, that's not something I'm super worried about, especially like a broken bone. Those are scenarios where the mechanics weren't wrong. He wasn't, you know, planting and then jumping to the side. There wasn't necessarily a weakness. It was just kind of perfect storm. Foot was in the wrong position. Body weight was all on the one foot. And yeah, it was just too much force during too short a period of time. So your big thing here is, okay, that foot, we know it's not going to be moving for a while. So we got to make sure stirrup muscles on the inside and outside are really ready to go. So if you imagine like a half foam roll or like a U-shaped foam roll. You know, he needs to be able to stand on that single leg, control left and right, be able to hold that single leg balance, be able to, push off, jump off. There really shouldn't be a lot of pain. Strength should be very close to that on what we see in the other side. Things like tenderness to touch or palpation, that's a good indicator of how are you doing? Are you really able to have a functional unit here to come back into this level of athleticism, or do we need to do a little bit more?
I mean, Matthew, literally, when I was Luke Goody's age, they would, like, roll my ankle one time and be like, does that hurt? I'm like, a little bit. All right, we'll put an extra thing of tape on it. I mean, it's just amazing what we have done now, right, all through the years, and what you guys as therapists can look at and say, okay, I think this is what it is. I mean, you did this with my shoulder. You got in there. You knew what it was. You tried to break down something that hurt like hell, and I wanted to punch him, but I couldn't. And then my shoulder felt great, and I'm like, this is unbelievable what modern, you know, medicine and you guys and all your training can do. And that's what makes it, you know, understood that, hey, Luke Goody, in my mind, is going to be back giving this team a lot of help when Big Ten basketball rolls around.
Yeah, I mean, I have all the hope in the world, you know, for a kid like this who was such a spark and such a fun moment for the team last
year
that, hopefully he's got a little bit of that Adrian Peterson healing time frame in it, in his body. And hopefully he can, you know, shoot out and get into that initial phase real quick and just feel really good and stuff. But like I said, I mean, best time of year to have an injury is preseason.
Right.
It stinks because you don't get to just join your team and fight with your buddies and stuff. But, I mean, let's face it, you know, first part of the season, middle part of the season, no one remembers that next year.
Yep.
We all remember how last year ended, and that's what we want better. And this is an injury time frame where it's like, hey, this kid can come back and be that spark plug, hopefully, for us.
Great call. Matthew Gordon, if you've got any kind of injury, if you've got any kind of just nook or pain, I don't know what a nook would mean, but if you got a pain anywhere in your body, go see Matthew. Don't just sit there and feel the pain and say, get over it, or pop ibuprofen. Go see Matthew. He'll give you a look and let you know what's wrong, and then he'll hurt the crap out of you. That's what he did to me. No, I'm kidding, because you solved my problem, and I'm forever grateful for that. Matthew, we always appreciate your expert and your time, buddy. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have a good one, guys.
All right, buddy. That is Matthew Gordon. I'm not kidding you, though. He took this tool, and he's like, all right. He's like moving my shoulder around. He goes, all right, I think I got what it is. And he knew exactly what it was. And then he took this tool, and he goes, now this is probably going to hurt. And it was, I'm like, oh, whoa, what do you mean it's probably going to hurt? He's like, well, we got to do that every time because I got to get that cartilage or whatever moved. I'm like, oh, crap. So I would go in there like I was being punished. I'm like, all right, go. But then after that little, like 5 minutes was done, then everything felt so good. It's amazing what those guys can do, and I hope Luke Goody is back. So, you know, 12 weeks, 3 months, what, November, December, January, you get into, February is the heart of that Big Ten, right?
Yes.
And work him in there. And maybe mid-February, he's back to full go, and then you got him all of March and into April.
That'd be ideal. Yeah, the stretch run of the Big Ten,
yep.
More than a month before even the Big Ten tournament, postseason play, and hopefully it is a seamless transition once he's able to get back out there. It's going to take some time for his condition to get up there, and for him not to shoot game shots for a few months is something,
no doubt.
For a shooter, obviously it's something he'll have to work through, but we know Luke's very talented, especially when it comes to catching the ball on the wing in that corner and letting it fly, and look forward to him getting back out there very soon.
And Brad and these coaches are talented at getting other key guys on this team. So not that
Definitely.
You're not going to miss Luke, believe me, not that you're not going to miss him, but certainly they've got some depth on this team, hopefully to overcome that.
Speaking of not missing.
Yes.
February 18th at Indiana.
Oh, good call.
Based on that timeline, Luke could still go to his home state and make some noise.
He's undefeated against them, right?
Well, the Big Ten tournament,
no, that's
unfortunately.
Right. That's right. I forgot about that. He's undefeated in the regular season against them. So what did we do against Purdue? We lost here.
Lost both.
Oh, that's
lost
right.
Lost here and then got smacked in West Lafayette.
All right, well, it's time to turn that around for Luke Goody. That's what I say. All right, let's come back to wrap up Hour 1 after this. Don't forget Brian Christofferson talking Nebraska football at 5:05. It is The Drive.
Hey, it's Stevie J. We have a great Stever today. Here we go from Kramer Siding and Window. Do you have a project you're trying to get done? New door, new window? How about some siding? Maybe you want to do a pergola? How about a leaky roof? Yeah, Kramer Siding Window does a lot of great projects. So here's your deal. They're offering $500 off a project of $3,000 or more. All right, that's good. But I'm going to add $1,000 to that. So essentially, this deal is going to be $1,500 off a deal of $3,000 or more. What? $1,500 for a Stever? Kramer Siding and Window, they can do a lot of great things for you. If you are interested, just text in 217-359-2255 and text in Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R, if you're interested in at least getting a free estimate. It's a no-brainer. Kramer Siding and Window, Stever, just text in Kramer, C-R-A-M-E-R, 217-359-2255.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champagne. We can handle all your car repairs on site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champagne is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at SarahChampagne.com.
Run to Target, grab your Starbucks, go to your hair appointment, but if you're late, bring your stylist the coffee too. My mom and her team can make your hair long. They have magic hair extensions.
Salon 105 offers more than just haircuts. We are certified in hand-tied extensions. We do waxing, hair coloring, balayage, ombre, and we are up to date on all of the latest trends. Not to mention our team is a lot of fun. Come and see us in downtown Mahomet. For more information, visit salon-105.com.
It's time for Socktober. During the entire month of October, the Vineyard Church and other community partners are collecting new adult socks to provide for our local friends who are without a home. This small act of kindness can make a big difference as we approach the colder months of the year. You can drop off socks at several locations throughout Champaign, Urbana, and Decatur. For more details and collection locations, visit tvc.us/socktober.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Hey, Io. Io's in action tonight, correct?
At home against the Pacers.
Sweet. St. Louis Blues play the Edmonton Oilers tonight at home. I'm going to watch a little bit of that. I haven't gotten into hockey. Man, this football winning has, like, completely changed my entire way I look at other sports. I mean, right now I'm like, oh, what's going on? The World Series? Oh, I don't care. Illinois is at Nebraska Saturday. That's all I care about. It's crazy. Speaking of Illinois football, I probably should have thrown this out when we started the show, but the schedule for next season came out, and here's where I see. This is what I see out of it, and then you go with what you see. We're going to be tailgating 7 times.
Now, I like it.
Now, if you want to add any more substance other than that.
More to add?
Well, what do you think of it? I like it.
Opener against Toledo, September 2nd, then at Kansas, which we kind of at first.
Oh, of course, they're good now.
A year ago, we joke about, like, oh, boy, two of the worst Power 5 programs out there. Both
we're good at doing this.
Resurgent. Here this year, that could be a fun game.
Illinois
should be one.
I agree. Illinois is good at setting up a schedule with a team 7 years down the road and then hitting exactly when that team is good. Lance,
it's true.
Is it Leipold?
Lance Leipold. Will he still be there? That's a
he may be
good
in Nebraska.
Question.
We may face him either at Nebraska or with Kansas, but go ahead. So that game is at Kansas, and then of course in 2024, Kansas will come here.
Yes, 24, home and home. We should get one on the basketball side, by the way. Not just a scrimmage. Let's do that.
I'm in.
But we should take our show on the road to Lawrence and maybe see if Bill Self would join us. That'd
you know what?
Really, really cool.
I'm in.
Let's do it.
I'm in.
Put it in the books.
How far is that? 6 hours? 8 hours?
Lincoln's about 8 hours. I'd say, yeah, in that range.
Okay. That's fine. We can do that. We can fly, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Hit up Josh Whitman, see if the private bird's available.
Right. There is this thing called a plane, huh?
Yeah. After the Kansas trip, you got Penn State at home, early okay. Big Ten matchup, Florida Atlantic at home after that, at Purdue to finish out September. Then you go into October, Nebraska at home.
We always play my birthday weekend at home. It's happened for like the last 8 years. that October, like my birthday's the 9th. Maybe I'm wrong
I
one
appreciate
year, but it does seem like every one of those, it's always there.
The Big Ten honors the traditions.
It's very
they
nice.
Look up at the rivalries and say, we got to make sure these teams play every year. And Lon always has a home game on his birthday weekend. And the tailgates are just too fun.
Kevin Warren's like, well, that Ron Jay guy has a birthday down at Illinois University. And we want to make sure he gets a home game.
Nebraska at Maryland, Wisconsin at home in October. And then you go into November at Minnesota, Indiana at home, at Iowa, Northwestern at home.
So you're at Iowa, at Minnesota, at Maryland.
At Purdue.
At Purdue. And at Kansas.
No Michigan on the schedule, no Ohio State.
And by the way, Minnesota and Purdue both get Michigan and Ohio State.
Really? Wow.
Wow. Wow is right. Can you imagine knowing going into the season you basically are 0-2? I mean, not off the bat, but you get what I'm saying. Can you imagine that? Wow. Whoa. Sorry.
Tanner Morgan will finally be gone.
Oh, yeah.
And I think
good call.
Aiden O'Connell, too.
Yeah.
Those guys been in college like 6 or 7 years.
Is Tiago Villalba from Maryland, is he going to still be here? He's good.
He is good.
Maryland's a good football team. They finished within 6 of Michigan earlier this year, by the way.
Yep.
Finished within 6. Like, I've never talked sports lingo before. They lost by 6. But, yeah, I mean, you look at your home games, they're all pretty winnable, I think. I mean, Toledo, Florida Atlantic, I think Penn State you could beat. Well, you never know, I guess. Nebraska at home, Wisconsin at home.
Seems decently favorable.
Indiana and Northwestern. So if you just win your home games, you're 7. And then figure out a way to beat one of those others. And now you've won 8 or 9. And you're right where we want to be every season. Isn't it amazing how confident you are going into this?
It is.
Isn't it amazing? Like, we beat Penn State on the road last year, and now I'm like, I think Penn State at home is winnable. Four years ago, if you would have said that, I would have been like, they're going to come in and blow us out.
I still remember the night game, Joe Pa.
Oh, my God.
Like 63-0.
I was at a wedding in Beardstown. That's how bad it was. Like, I remember that. Like, people remember big events.
I remember
life.
Leaving at halftime.
You stayed until half?
Yeah, we made it till half.
To see the Chief?
Yeah,
Chief,
I think it would have been.
I guess.
Yeah, maybe he wouldn't have been.
To see the incomparable 3-1 and yell Chief. Sorry, I do that. All right, we got to take a break. Brian Christofferson talking Nebraska football next. It's The Drive.
Big Bad Night, a buyer's worth. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
What do you mean, I get the whole store?
I'm Dennis Reakin, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. And when we promise you the whole store, we mean all we do is appliances. We offer a showroom full of the top appliance brands, complete with our free 10-year protection plan.
Who does your warranty work? Some outbid with a 1-800 number?
No way. Our service and installation technicians are employed and factory trained by us. And our protection plan means you pay nothing for covered repairs.
So, I get a free 10-year protection plan, a guaranteed best deal, a hometown service department, and a showroom full of name brand appliances? Wow!
Hey lady, that's my line. All we do is appliances, and we do them better than anyone else. Wow!
Big Van Dyke, appliance world. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
Hello, I am John Brown, lifelong Champaign County resident and a candidate for sheriff. From an early age, my parents taught my three brothers and me the importance of putting people first. I have never forgotten that during my 32-year law enforcement career. My entire adult life has been committed to public service, both inside and outside law enforcement. It is all about people and relationships. As sheriff, I will continue to put people first by working with other law enforcement leaders to address violent crime and increasing community outreach. I will provide proper oversight of day-to-day operations of the Sheriff's Office and face challenges.